Well, we want to kind of set our hearts in our direction in terms of our sharing by looking briefly at a part in Scripture. So if you happen to see it in your bulletin, it's actually 1 Thessalonians 5. For those of you who remember, as we study this foundation that Paul is going to lay down for the early church, it is Galatians and 1 Thessalonians. So eventually we're going to dig into this book in the new year once we get done with Galatians. And so we're also going to look very in-depth at the verses that I'm going to share, but I just thought that these were the verses that I wanted to share. You know the way I do things sometimes, that I purposely will share something in a different Bible version because it gets us thinking differently. And many people remember or have memorized 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. So I want you to relax your mind and almost purposely not look at your Bible so that you can hear it in this version. You know, I'm a big proponent that there are some great times when we can have simple English Bibles, and probably my favorite, I think my overall favorite is the International Children's Bible. That actually came first, and then out of the International Children's Bible, they kind of adultified and made the New Century Version. So this is the New Century Version with their wording of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. They have it this way. Paul saying, "Always be joyful. Pray continually and give thanks whatever happens. This is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus." That's on the back of your bulletin. It's suitable for framing. You can cut out those verses if you like and put it in a frame just because the wording is a little bit different. That's how I decided to approach it. The first parts we will get into in our future time with 1 Thessalonians 5, this idea of being joyful. We just want to say briefly that when it comes to the idea of joy, it basically comes down to contentedness. I think maybe you have some simple English versions that would say something like, "Always be happy." And that would be depressing if we read that, right? Many of us would be depressed because we know that we're not always happy. And that's not what joy is about. So it's actually more accurate to say, always be joyful. Joy is a contentedness. Contentedness has to do with two basic ideas. Simply that you say, God is in control and I trust him. That's what contentedness has to do with. Knowing and agreeing that God is in control and that you trust him. Pray continually. All of us wish that we would pray more. We're going to say that as you talk throughout the day with God. That's basically what this is getting at. Communicating with God throughout the day. That may be out loud. That may be just in your mind speaking to God. But communicating with God throughout the day is the idea of pray continually. And then the particular way that they word this, I thought it struck me. Give thanks whatever happens. So it's talking about a sense of understanding that there are circumstances in life, that there are situations in life. Whatever happens, give thanks. This is decoupling it a little bit from especially the mistaken understanding that you are to say thank you to God even when there are evil things, like you're to say thank you to that evil thing. That's not what this is getting at. God is not trying to get us to be unrealistic about things that were genuinely wrong and genuinely evil, because he hates those things too, and he's keeping perfect track so that he will punish those things. But this is saying, in the midst of whatever happens, give thanks. I was thinking that I would give one specific example. You can supply one yourself. Maybe you want to share them during lunchtime, maybe after the service is over. Here's one instance. I just want to say that even though you're giving thanks, it doesn't mean you'll understand whatever happens. It doesn't mean that we'll get a clear idea of how this exactly relates to God's plan. So, for example, when, better watch it, when Vivian was pregnant with our first child, who ended up being born by God's grace, but early in the pregnancy, she had severe pain that put her in the hospital. And we wondered, as a young couple, you know, would she lose that pregnancy? Now, Miscarriages are extremely common, and I would say that most couples here have probably experienced miscarriage. We have as well. But for that first pregnancy, it was pretty intimidating. I'm not saying that we can now understand why that happened. We were getting ready to go to the mission field. We were getting ready to go to language school. But it's saying, even in the midst of that, and even if you don't later get understanding of how it fits, you find reasons in the midst of all circumstances to give thanks. So that's why this wording really impressed me. Give thanks whatever happens, because we should be able to find reasons to give thanks to God in the midst of all circumstances. And I thought, you know, some people can get down in such a low place that they would find it very hard, even if it has nothing to do with those circumstances, they might still find it really hard to give thanks. So I just want to say that it could be something as simple as simply saying, thank you, God. Okay? If you can't even, if you're so burdened that you can't even think of specifics, it's good to think of specifics. I think it's healthy to think of specifics. But if you can't, at least you can say, thank you, God. And if you're not even able to say that out loud, that's okay, because God knows our hearts. Even if you say it silently, just thank you, God. And he'll eventually bring you to a place where you can start to give thanks more for specific situations and circumstances. You know, I don't know your lives all in and out, but I do know that most of you here that I know of have been through some very difficult, trying, terrible, whatever adjective you want to throw in there, times. And we all have. And I try to say this frequently, don't assume that anybody here is not dealing with something. Everybody is dealing with something. They don't necessarily share it out loud, but everybody is dealing with something. Nobody has the ideal life. But all of us are to follow this command. Give thanks whatever happens. And then it says, this is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. That also is a different way of wording that last part. Some people think that because it says this is God's will for you, it's much more of a crack in the whip type of thing. This is God's will for you. Do it, right? I like the approach that it's taking here because it puts it in a different way. This is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. So people have talked about this before, that when it comes to obedience, he knows that it will actually result in the most enjoyable life for us. The more that we're aligned with doing the things that he wants us to do, the more enjoyment we'll get out of life. So focusing in specifically on the idea of giving thanks, sometimes we differentiate, and sometimes we don't, between adoration and thanksgiving. We just had this recent service where we focused on prayer, and we used those two letters to talk about adoration and thanksgiving. Generally speaking, adoration is talking about thanking God, praising God for who he is, versus thanksgiving for what he has done. And the elders have realized that a lot of times those things blur. And what's supposed to be exclusively an adoration time, we're supposed to just keep it focused on God and about him and his characteristics. People end up thanking him for things that he's done. So next time, when we have it the end of February, beginning of March, I think we're just going to say it's a time of adoration and thanksgiving. We're just going to combine them, because people do anyway. But what do those things do? When it says give thanks whatever happens, it means give thanks to God for who he is. Give thanks to the things that he has done. This is what God wants for you. Why? Because he knows that when we focus on him and we have that mindset on the great things about him, of how worthy he is of praise, and the way that he is working, when we focus on those things, we actually live better. So it is really what he wants for us. And we want to try to give opportunities for that in this place. We try to say every once in a while that that box that's in the back is for praise and for prayer. So that means that literally, if you want it to be said during the service, you stick that in there. Praise, I think, is underneath this idea of giving thanks. It's the idea of what God is doing and who He is. So that's a week in, week out opportunity for anybody. But then we come to this special opportunity once a year. And like I prayed, I don't want this to be forced. We never want those things to be forced. We want it to be natural. But the idea is that we're all in very different places with things that are going on. Whatever is happening, are you able to give thanks? In something that's brief, in something that's moderately long, as you know, the Spirit leads you. But we're always to find that because it helps us to know that God is at work and really does love us and really wants our best and He really is in control. So we're going to have a chance to do that now. Dennis, you're on the end. I'm going to ask that if you would take one side. Which side would you like? The side your family's on?
I'll be on this side.
All right. Let's go ahead and just have another brief word of prayer. And then I'll unclip my microphone. And then it's up to you. Whatever you feel that God is leading you to say, to either praise Him or to thank Him for something. Let's go ahead with just a word of prayer. Lord God, we were just singing, holy, there is no one like You. And we know, Father God, that part of our conversation, if we're to pray continually, part of our conversation with You should be expressing our thanks and just being reminded anew of how great You are. So who gets the first hand, Dennis or me? I guess I do.
I know when it comes to group sharing or praying, sometimes it's like trying to get pickles out of a jar. You know, the first one's really hard, and after that, they come pretty easily. So I'll be the first pickle. The last several years that we've done this, I've given thanks with my choir director hat on. This morning, I'd like to give thanks with my elder, lame duck elder hat on. I'm really thankful for this congregation and this church and for all the people that it takes to keep it going and to support the ministries that we have. And, you know, it takes a lot of people and a lot of hard work. And, you know, I don't want to exclude anybody, but everywhere from the treasurers to the elders to the deaconesses to the trustees to the Sunday school teachers, the Pioneer Club teachers, you know, it's a lot of folks and a lot of work. And This is the congregation that God has assembled here, and I'm really thankful for those people and the talents that he's given each one of them. And I'm also especially thankful for the recent new members that we've gotten in, with the Peckgians, the Elliots, and the Andersons. These are great additions to our congregation. Oh, and the Soopolis. Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. not only it's good to have more numbers, but it's especially good to have more talents. And, you know, these aren't people who just accidentally got here. These are people that God has placed here, and I'm grateful for them.
I was also going to express my thanks for the hardworking people who sometimes step out of their comfort zone and do what needs to be done. And I, too, am very grateful for all of you. And I just wanted to say, too, I'm grateful for the medical care we have in Garrett County. Things have changed a lot just in the last 20 years, and certainly from when I was born in a little 10-room hospital in Garrett County. I mean, we have a lot of medical care that didn't used to be available to us, and with the cancer center and so on, it's a lot easier to go to Oakland than to go to Morgantown. So
I'll try to make this short. My Lord and Savior, He does not make no mistakes. Back in 15, He took somebody home that meant a a whole lot to make. You couldn't separate. But he broke his leg, and the Lord took him home. He's been dead since 15, and I miss my brother today. Was to live and die. Oh, John, why did you have to leave?
I also am very thankful for a certain health situation that the Lord brought me through a number of months ago. I went through a lot of medical testing after testing after testing, and we trusted God for healing. And the surgeon, when it came up to the surgeon, there was no reason to have a surgery. And so I'm thankful that the Lord brought me through a very rough medical situation, and just thankful for its healing power. And thankful for my husband that Lord brought into my life many decades ago now. I'm just thankful for him.
Well, there are so many things that I am thankful for, and you know, first and foremost is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just want to say, you know, the young children in this congregation, I'm very thankful for them. I don't work with them directly, but they bring me joy every time I see them running through here. The other thing that really strikes me is that in all the years that I've been here, that our sound room with Andrew and with Larry has been just outstanding. People who have been here for a long time just know that it used to be very difficult, and sometimes we heard lots of feedback and lots of times with just different challenges or whatever, and it just moves along so smoothly now. And so I am thankful for those two men.
Thankful for the roof over my head. For this church, and for the guidance and the help, both spiritually and otherwise. I'm thankful that I survived an accident in 2015 that I wasn't supposed to live through. But I know God has a plan and a purpose. I'm just waiting to find out what it is. Thank you.
This morning I'm thankful that I have a new great-grandson that was born Friday. And it's been a long answer to prayer because my granddaughter had a couple of miscarriages, and we prayed her through this, that she carried him the whole way. And a boy, because we hadn't had a boy on my side of the family for 50 years since my son was born. So this is our first boy. We're so excited. His name's Christopher Joseph. And the other thing is, when Erin did have her miscarriage, her and her mother bonded because her mother had lost a baby 30 years ago and never been to his grave. She just couldn't face that, the trauma of it. So Erin talked her into going to the graveside, and they together mourned the death of her little baby and the death of Erin's baby, and they grieved together, and now we have this new life. So I'm just so thankful.
This must be the corner we're all sharing. So I wanted to share this verse, Deuteronomy 32:4, that I've been thinking about. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and just is he. And so, you know, our God, as people have been sharing this morning, through the difficult times, he just knows. He has his reasons for doing things, and we just appreciate being here with this congregation. It's really a blessing to be here, and you guys are devoted to the Lord and to his work and his ministry. It's just great to be a part of that, so thank you.
I just wanted to be thankful for the praise team that has kind of come around me. It's been great that they've been able to come out every week and be dedicated. Most of them aren't able to make it here today, but a lot of them were. So I just, I'm very thankful for the people that God has brought around for our praise team.
It was on my heart today, too, to thank everyone, the leaders of this church, who they're so faithful, and to our pastor, who is such a good researcher. I mean, he just digs in, and he finds meaning in the Bible that I can't find myself, so I appreciate that. And I appreciate Vivian, who is such a good support when I need it. I have a lot of things to be thankful for. I almost feel guilty, but I have a great husband I'm thankful for, friends, good health. But I don't know, I just wanted to say thank you for those things.
I just want to say thank you for what you did put on the back of the bulletin, because it really does explain so much. And the girls and I have always thought of, when things get rough, we have this little song we sing. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll just tell you what we said, that thank you, God, for everything. And we repeat that three times. And then it's carried us through many times that we need to refocus on whatever the situation is at the time and just refocus on God, because he always hears us. And I, too, am so thankful for this church, because we came here knowing that it was a spirit-filled church. I've said many times I'd rather be in a church with even fewer people if it's all spirit-filled than a whole big church that doesn't follow his spirit. And that's what drew us here the very first time we came, to know that God's spirit is really prevalent in this place. And everyone, I just love to see the kids, like Bob mentioned too, because they are the foundation that we all need to help build and encourage and everything. So I'm so grateful for both Pastor Jeff and Vivian. I'll put a plug in here for our Wednesday nights, because as you were saying about, he can show us things we can't find on our own. When we get in a discussion following Sunday's sermon, we always learn so much. So I'm so grateful for them and our elders, because they're always there. Anytime you need something, they're there for us. So I am so thankful that we are here and we are doing God's work as he wants us to do. Thank you.
I'd like to say I'm thankful for the folks who man the nursery on Sunday mornings. It's sometimes kind of a thankless job, but we really appreciate that they do that. I also am thankful for the folks who are willing to sign up to do the missions prayers, and appreciate their willingness to do that. And I want to thank everybody who worked on the Operation Christmas Child boxes. I'm really thankful for how our congregation came together, even though we're smaller than we were last year and times are kind of hard. We still managed to fill lots of boxes. So I'm thankful for the folks who donated items, who donated money, who donated their time, and helped us to fill the boxes. And I'm just thankful for the vision that Samaritan's Purse had for that program and how it's grown and grown and grown, and we're able to be a part of that. So I'm thankful for that.
Good morning, Lord. I thank you for an awful lot of things. I remember back many, many years ago when we were in Sunday school, and the Sunday school attendant was, actually he'd been to a revival or something, and he said that what he heard in that discussion was that we would need to accept God. And I thought he meant that we was to come forward right there in Sunday school. But when I turned to my brother and two other boys sitting beside me, and I said, we want God to come into our hearts. And I'm not sure if they knew what they were getting into, but I got up and they followed me. And when we went up front, the Sunday school leader said, "Well, what are you boys doing up here?" And I said to him, "Oh, Mr. Swagger, you said if we wanted God to come into our hearts, we was to come forwards." Well, lo and behold, our Sunday school teachers, our mothers, came up and put their arms around us. And you know, I wasn't sure at that time that I said that I wanted God to come into my heart. But I know through the years that there's been other times that I've really felt to be down on my knees and to accept God, because there's so much that I've done in my life that probably didn't please Him. But also, Lord, I'm thankful, I think, from that day on that You helped me to realize that I wanted to be a farmer, and I always look at it as if I'm helping You to help feed the world. I know You don't have to have me. There's other people, and You could, Lord, You could take care of our nourishment needs. But after 70 years of getting up, milking cows, and feeling thankful for the crops, the sunshine, everything that's ever happened good in my life, here just a couple months ago, the most of you know, my son decided it was time to stop milking cows. And that's probably the hardest thing that's happened to me in my life. I'm finding that instead of getting up at 6 o'clock, sometimes I lay there in my chair till 8 o'clock. And then I think to myself, Lord, You expect me to do something else. What is it that I'm to do? Well, in the last month or so, as you notice, my wife hasn't been able to come to church for a lot of reasons. She can't walk, just has to scoot her feet along, and she doesn't hear very good. So she feels that she should just stay home. I would ask, Lord, that in Your time of prayer, if You could just remember Lorraine and have her to, she has a good attitude, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I guess I'm thankful for learning to wash dishes and cook and run the sweeper and things like that to help her out. That must be what You have in mind for me for the rest of my time. But as you all know, when someone asks me how I am, Lord, that I instantly can say to them, I'm thankful. And I think I've said this to this church a couple times, but why don't you try it sometime when people ask you how you are? If you just say to them, you're thankful, you'll see an expression come on their face, and you know that you've made them think about God and being thankful. And I really think that's the one thing that God, You have me to do to help make everybody else be a little more thankful. Now, Lord, we're thankful for everybody, and we talk about things that's going on in the world, and how we pray for those people in war-torn countries that supposedly want freedom, freedom of religion. And so I think we're blessed when we think of them in our prayers. And there's just so much that we all have to be thankful for. Now, I'm talking longer than most people, but that's the way it usually is. I like to say all that I need to say. So I'm going to turn it back over to Dennis. And Lord, again, I thank you for my life.
Are you allowed to do two? I'd like to say that I'm thankful for Charlie Mason. And I'll tell you why. I'll try to make this as short as possible. But one of the reasons is because of this building that we now have. Back in 1998, we formed a building committee to start talking about adding an addition onto the church. And I was the chairman of that committee for 9 years. We had set a goal that we wouldn't do anything until we had received $250,000 to start with, so that we didn't have to finance everything. So we got to the point where we had gotten our $250,000, and then the rest we were going to have to take a loan out on. And so as we got closer, after about probably 7 or 8 years of planning and meeting with architects and things like that, it became time to fish or cut bait, so they say. And there were a couple pretty prominent members of our congregation, and they were also prominent in the community, so they held some sway in public opinion anyway, that were against us taking out a loan of the size that we were going to need to take out. And there was a lot of angst, and we would have at every congregational meeting, which is 3 times a year, I would give a briefing on what we'd accumulated and what we needed and how the loan was going to work. But there was still a lot of, a fair amount of opposition to that, I would say. And towards the end, we were having a congregational meeting, and we were asking for people to give input how they felt about it. Charlie Mason stood up. And he said, "I'm not afraid of debt. I've been in debt most of my life." You know, and those words, I think, were instrumental in turning just about everybody in the congregation around to see that, that God's hand was in this and we could do this. And so I think in large measure, the building that we now have, some of that can be attributed to Charlie for his comments.
I'm really happy for Joy and for just having a good time with our friends and laughing. This world drags us down so quick. And just the fact that we can have fun is a blessing from God. Another thing, happy for doctors that know how to fix us. Thank you for all your prayers with my foot operation. And I'm doing well. Going to be a while till I can get a shoe on, but I'm just so thankful that I got through this with God's help.
Sorry, but I'm going to do another one. I'm thankful for my 96-year-old mama, who is still of good mind and good spirit and encourages me every day. And she just had a birthday, but they were in quarantine, and I'm still trying to have her party, but now she doesn't want one. But she's 96 now and doing great.
Anybody else? Okay, thank you.